Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Invincible Podcast, probably the best superhero podcast in the universe. This is a show where friends talk all things Invincible, a comic book and animated series created by Robert Kirkman, Corey Walker, and Ryan Otley. On today's episode, we've got a ton of listener emails and doodles all about the season finale. We've got some really interesting Invincible news to talk about. We will announce the winners of our final Guarding the Globe giveaway. We've got a return to our issue spotlight segment. Very excited about that. And a few more things. I am one of your hosts, Ryan. I am joined, of course, by TJ.
Oh, hello, it's TJ.
And Wyatt.
Hey, everybody.
And Bill. How's it going, man?
Oh, wow. I was doing really well up until that introduction. Good.
Bill, I don't know if I've ever seen you in like a polo like that. And I've known you for 20 years. Did you just come from like Sunday school or...
So I was teaching Sunday school on a Tuesday evening. This is what I wore to work, and I went to my son's first baseball game right after that. So I haven't had a chance to make myself look all invincibled out.
How was the baseball game?
It was great. Riker killed it. Nice. I'm really hoping that in 15 years I see Hake on the back of his jersey on like TV, you know, and I can retire early.
Does he like baseball like that?
Dude.
Really?
You got to see this kid play baseball. Like, I don't mean to be, because he just got home from going out to eat, and I don't mean to, like, make his head big because he's just like me, but he's really, really good.
I would totally come to a game. That's cool.
Yeah,
all right.
That's should. Awesome.
Come here, Riker. Come here. Come here. Show him how ridiculous you... Come on.
What are we looking at?
Calm down. There he is.
I just took my headband off, too, so...
The headband would have completed the ensemble.
The headband was pink. He looks like Jamie from
Jamie
Ted Lasso.
Tart?
You know?
Oh
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great.
He's gonna be at C2E2, and so will we.
That's right. We will be going. All four of us are going to C2E2 this year, over in Chicago. Very exciting. If you are in the area, if you are going to C2E2, hit us up. We'd love to meet up and hang out, and you know. Say hi to fellow Invincible fans. Speaking of fellow Invincible fans, we've got a bunch of new listeners thanks to the, you know, season two, all of our breakdowns, the Robert Kirkman interview. So if you're new to this podcast, welcome. We do like long form discussions, like usually once a month, various topics all centered around Invincible. And there's a huge backlog of episodes and like fun videos that we've done in the past. So check them all out. We do cover spoilers, so be aware. I'm talking for the comic book. We don't directly get too into them unless the conversation leads to it. So just be aware that there are some things that, you know, we're going to talk about when it comes to things that might be coming in like a potential season 3 or 4 or beyond. And some of the questions might have to do directly with the comic. For example, we have Issue Spotlight, which is a segment we're going to do at the end of the episode. And that could be an issue from anywhere in the series. So be aware that that might be the case. So go read the comic if you haven't yet. What are you waiting for?
Whose turn is it? Who's doing it?
It's my turn. There's definitely some spoilers in my issue spotlight. So we'll make sure and make that very clear before we start.
So when we're doing our guesses, we know that it's like past issue 50.
Or maybe it's stuff that happened earlier that they didn't do in the show. You know what I mean? That could be a spoiler, too.
It is possible.
I mean, also, after issue 50, there's 144 issues. It's not like that narrows it down too much. Like,
yeah. We have a bunch of new reviews, too. Last episode, Bill, I think it was last episode, you made a call. You said, leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts. And it seems like people responded. I haven't read any of these. You're kind of the keeper of the reviews. What do we got?
You want me to delve in? So we got 4 new reviews that. So thank you very much. But I think we could have gone for 8. So if after hearing this, you know, throw a review on there. Even though the season's over with, we still got lots and lots to talk about. So we have one here. All were 5 stars. So thank you very much. Whether you are just a show watcher, comic reader, or both, this podcast is perfect. I feel... I like to listen to multiple companion podcasts for shows or sports, and in the few years I've been listening to this podcast, I've never considered finding another podcast for Invincible to complement this one. The hosts have a fun dynamic. It doesn't say. From XXF1XF. XXXX. That was tough. XXF1XX is who it's from. Got another one here. Show episode isn't complete without him. Not a comic reader, but I started listening along with the show about 18 months ago. The passion for the IP comes through in every episode, and I love hearing about the comic context. I'm probably never going to read them, so I'm not spoiler averse, but they are gentle with spoilers anyways. And then someone else said, Friday night routine, the only thing I look forward to on my Friday night shifts at work. Huge fan of the comic and show, so any other way I can interact with the Invincible Universe is a done deal. First review of 2024, keep it up. Yeah, he was the first one. Invincible Boys, B-Rad 27. And I think there's another one in there.
Hold on. Can I touch on that before we go to the next one?
Yeah.
So just a heads up, if you're listening, that's great that you found the podcast, and we love that. We try to stay spoiler free around this time, like around the TV, around when the TV or when the show was coming out. But especially, you know, when the season's off, like Ryan said, we start to dig more into spoilers and go over things later on in the comics, because that's what we have to do. Like we speculate. So just be careful going forward, because we'll probably, and we'll always, you know, give kind of a warning. But yeah, so we don't want you to go anywhere. So just read the comic and you'll love it, and then come back
and
hang out.
I you know, we obviously love the comic and we would definitely recommend reading it. But you know what? Some people might just not. That's just not their thing. And if you're cool with spoilers, then that's fine. You know, welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think one second here. And then coolest Rick Roydian book ever. I have been listening to the show since season one finished and only just recently made it through and caught up. I still need to do the watch alongs, but have enjoyed the commentary on the comic and show. Great job, guys. Breck. So thank you all for you know, that really helps us out, guys, on Apple specifically. So yeah, if you guys could continue to review and comment on our YouTube, subscribe, all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, it's helpful. Makes us show up when people are searching for Invincible and everything, which is always fun. Right, because then we get more awesome emails and feedback from listeners, which we have a packed episode of emails. Very excited. Next up, the winners from our final Guarding the Globe giveaway. So we've said it before, for each of our episodes doing the breakdown for season two, we partnered with Ubisoft Barcelona to give away 5 hero dossiers to 3 lucky winners. And you had to comment on those videos, and it's all closed off now. We've picked our 3 winners for the last time, and those winners are Nexusian, who said, because we asked for their where they're currently at in their alliance. In their chapter in the campaign.
They
said, currently stuck on chapter 15, stage 15, lol. Titans and battle beasts are hard to beat, especially when there's multiple of them. Second winner is Comics and More. They say, slow progress on Guarding the Globe, but not stuck yet. I have Mark, Nolan, Eve, and Abraham Lincoln at 200, with Monster Girl and Alan close at 180. Chapter 12, stage 18. And then finally, Ray, who's at chapter 14, level 32, should have asked for the best looking podcast host. Maybe next time. Thank you, Ray. Maybe.
I'm we'll glad see. That one won. I remember seeing that one. I'm like, that's excellent.
That's definitely a suggestion that you would have suggested, Bill.
Congrats to everybody.
Congrats, guys. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, speaking of Ubisoft, we will actually be having an episode with the game director for Guarding the Globe coming up on a future episode. Very excited to talk to him all about any, you know, future modes in the game, what's coming down the line, and just, you know, how the game got to be where it is. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Have you guys done anything in the game lately? What's some of your latest achievements?
Can I tell you I made a horrible mistake.
Oh no.
Horrible mistake. And it cost me, man. It cost me. So
what'd you do?
As you guys know, my most leveled up person is, of course, Rexplode, who is rare, so it takes a lot to build him up, right?
Way more.
Dude, so you almost have to build your strategy from rare all the way up to, I don't even know, like whatever, like the pink. He's currently
elite.
is the pink elite. So
he's purple, elite. Then exceptional, I think.
Yeah, he's elite plus with what, 5 stars? Like the lat, like he's got all orange, the stars. Yes.
Yeah,
so he's fully, he's I was 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 5 stars. Epic plus,
that's right,
with 5 stars, right? So
wait, let me stop you right there. First of all, that's easier to level up because you get so many more hits with Rex than you do with like Omni-Man or Invincible. That he shows up way more.
But
so it's easier to level
more
him up.
It takes more Rexes to make a rare.
Plus, exactly. You can spend like $20 and get 15 Rexes.
I don't.
Yeah, because you need like 9 Rexes essentially to make him purple, or 9 of that faction in order to make him purple.
But if you get like an Omni-Man, he's already purple. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's you jumped the gun there.
Good luck getting an Omni-Man.
So
at least if you're Bill.
A couple. So anyways, I was waiting. I had it all built up. Like I wasn't upgrading certain rare pluses because I was saving them to upgrade Rex, and it was certain, you know, the purple pluses. Finally got the last character I needed at rare, and I started building all the way up. And the very last one, I had a, what is it? The
just say the color.
An exceptional robot, and I had another robot.
You
and
were
I
gonna put a robot into.
Into a Rex? Oh, yeah, absolutely. However, in order to, I needed to use robot to make him exceptional so that I can make 2 robots to make it another one to combine that one with Rex. Yes. But I combined the robot that I needed to combine with the other robot. Instead of doing that, I combined that robot with like a duplicate. So it made another duplicate. So I had a robot and a duplicate. Whatever. Yeah. Basically, I fucked it all up and I wasted all of my ones below it. So I had to start from scratch and I'm still.
So what you're doing now, TJ, you're trying to get Rex from orange to red, right?
I am. I had it at a red, but I combined them wrong and it screwed me. It screwed me.
That's rough.
Painful.
Yeah. Painful.
Well, I finally finally ranked up my Omni-Man, who was capped out at 220, right? 220, and then finally got another one to get him to exceptional.
Yeah, you basically need the 2 orange to make an orange with the border.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's cool because that unlocks your 4th and final skill, like the final ability, which is really good. Yeah. That's neat. And so now it's nice once you start adding the stars, because it's like, Bill, every 2 Omni-Man you get a star. That's all you got to worry about.
I don't ever get them though. I don't ever get them. My shop level is like 4.
Yeah.
Almost 5. Same. And I rarely see Omni-Man or Invincible ever.
Yeah.
Well, it's helped. We've been making some good progress. We were stuck on region 12 in our alliance for a while, but now we're like, you know, we've mm-hmm. moved up a few battles in the last couple of days. So I think we're going to be region 13 pretty soon, but
yeah. The Gatling Gun Mauler is my top character, and the event that's going on right now is giving you criminals every time, so I'm just stuck. I have a bunch that are all blue plus, but I'm not upgrading them yet because like then I have more that I can put in GDA ops and save them, so I'm just stockpiling a bunch of
it's
those,
all
and
about-
I'm like trying to time it so that I get as many of those as I can before that event.
Well, when it
out.
Comes
as
time,
knows,
Wyatt,
it's all about
just
piling
be careful,
them up.
Just be careful how you build it when it comes time.
Yep.
You know, when you think about it, Rex and Robot, you know, Robot, really a clone of Rex's body. It's like you upgraded the right one.
TJ, if you only knew the amount of Rexes I fed to my robot.
Disgusting.
Well, we're recording this but prior to the weekend, but hopefully this weekend's event is a good one. I know that we're approaching another character release. We're guessing it's going to be Doc Seismic just because we know he's already in the game. So if that's the case, Wyatt, we might get another villain or a criminal event, which give you even more criminals.
Yeah.
So good times.
But and then I'm going to want to level up Doc Seismic because he's cool too. It's a whole vicious cycle.
It is. All right. So we'll have more on that in a coming episode. But for now, let's move on to the latest Invincible news. We've got some really, really exciting stuff to talk about. First up, Wyatt. You took a little road trip to an Invincible event. Can you tell us all about it?
Yeah, I did. So they had an Art of Invincible Season 1 event. It was really, it felt like kind of like a release party almost for the art book that came out. It was Corey Walker was there. Simon Rasiopa was there. Oh gosh, I'm blanking on the other two people that were on the panel. I will look it up and mention it later. But it was other people who worked on the show as well that were there on the panel with Simon Rasiopa and Corey Walker. It was a really great discussion. It was a small little kind of like art gallery in like the LA area. They did a panel for about an hour where they just kind of talked about the process of making the show, which was really cool. Lots of cool little insights about like translating characters from the comic into the show style, and Corey talking a little bit about how like his style kind of worked very well for that, and that there were some characters like Battle Beast that he didn't have as much of a hand in designing, because that was more of Otley creating mm-hmm. Battle Beast, that was kind of a real challenge of figuring out how to take Battle Beast and translate him to the style of the show that's a little more simplified, a little more streamlined. So little tidbits like that throughout the panel that were really cool. I believe at the panel they said something about it being posted on YouTube, so the panel might be available somewhere. I'll have to look that up and see if we can.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so it may still be coming. It may be something that they have to edit. It was very cool. The second half of it, they took questions from the audience. I asked, of course, trying to get more tidbits about a possible Rexplode special, TJ. I asked if you could have another character that could get their own special episode like Adam Eve did, who would it be? Lots of fun little answers. Corey Walker even said that like Immortal would actually be a really cool character because obviously his backstory is so rich. Lots of fun discussion on the panel. And then, got to have my issue 144 variant from Corey that I have up there, the Terra variant signed by him, and then got the art book signed by the whole panel as well, which was so cool.
Yeah,
and it was just very cool to get to meet Corey in person. If people didn't hear our episode from San Diego Comic-Con after we came back from San Diego Comic-Con, Ryan's like,
what happened?
So we can only see his face. That looked like a horror movie.
Is Darkwing there with you? Do you need help?
He's back.
You have no idea what I'm capable of.
It was more distracting because of your face, the way that we can only see your face and the like terror in your eyes.
That was the funniest thing that's ever happened on the podcast.
My ring light is
up there. That's up there with when TJ thought he saw a ghost in his house.
Yes.
the event was really cool. Listeners who know from our San Diego experience, I had to leave just before you guys ended up meeting Kirkman and Corey, so I never actually got to meet Corey Walker. So it was really cool to just meet him and say thanks for all he's done in making the comic and the show. I was talking to him about how we all flipped out with the chainsaw reveal in season 2 in the finale. And he was like, oh yeah, well, chainsaw was part of that, bloody explosion. And I was like, what? They cut away. We don't see it happen. Maybe he survived. And he's like, no, Chainsaw's dead. And I was like, well, it
and
was
then
an
walked away
universe.
And then he
maybe
left the panel.
Maybe,
there's talk
a, maybe that was an alternate chainsaw. It's not, our chainsaw. He's like, no, they're all dead. All of them are dead. It's like, okay, I'll tell the guys, Chainsaw's dead, guys.
There you go.
You heard Chainsaw on the show.
You heard it here.
On and he like flapped it back and then walked out.
But yeah, very cool. And I got to also meet up with Jose Rodriguez, who we met at San Diego Comic-Con as well, so it's cool to see him. And Luke Lizaldi from the Invincible Podcast was there.
Oh, yeah. Man. They're like cool, bigger man. Invincible fans than us. Like, they're at everything.
They really are. And it's funny because it was the same way running into Jose at San Diego. I ran into him because he was in line at the Skybound booth, and I was asking if it was, like, the end of the line, and he was like, Wyatt? And I was like, how do you know who I am? Freaked me out. And then the same thing here where I had like found my seat and Jose was like, text me a picture that I was about to take from just a slightly different angle. And I looked around and then just texted him like, turn around. And he turned around and saw me there. So he's always just like a couple rows ahead of us.
What is it? I haven't seen It's Always Sunny, but isn't that an Always Sunny gif or meme or whatever with the two people at the wedding? Just
the people staring at each other.
Staring at each other. Yeah, across
one
the
of my
that
favorite.
Was very much me and Jose.
One of my favorite scenes of that show.
Yeah, Mac and Charlie across the restaurant. Like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
That's what I pictured.
But yeah, super cool. I'm hopefully this is, the first of future ones they'll do, since we know that we're getting a season two art book as well.
Right.
Hopefully we get this like as a, you know, each time the book comes out, we get a little event like this, because it'll be cool to just have that check in and see the process of everything.
Speaking of the art book, I went out and bought. Oh, you finished
it? I finished it. Yeah, I finished it. It was funny. Like the day you were there, I was just like so excited, and it was like it was just so cool. So I was just reading it. I was like, and I finished it. Nice. It's fantastic. The book is so good. I can't recommend it enough for anyone interested in the show itself.
Yeah. I went out and bought it. I went and I got the last one that was at Barnes & Noble, and I didn't know that it was like a novel. Like it's legitimately like a book, and it's so fucking cool. So don't expect like just cool pictures.
Yeah.
It's a book. Like, and it's got a lot of interesting stuff in there. So go get it if you haven't gotten it already. And it's it is really, really good.
It's cheaper on Amazon, actually. I think it's like only $30 on Amazon. So, and you get it in 2 days. So check it out.
Yeah.
Next up, Fortnite. We have more a new mode that was shadow added basically since our last episode. They announced it and it is now available to play. It's called Rise of the Sequids. It is a mode in Fortnite where you play as opposing teams, and anytime like you'll play as humans or a Sequid, and when you are killed by the opposing team, you become that opposing team and you fight for them. And then the round is over when all of one side has won, or everyone is a Sequid or everyone is a human. And then a new round starts and you're evenly split and you do it again. We did a live stream of it on the night that it was released. That video should be live over on our YouTube page if you want to watch us play around in there. It was a ton of fun. This, if anyone played like Halo Zombie Mode or whatever from back in the day, like that's what it felt like. And it was really, really cool.
Yeah. I, even though I love the Doc Seismic raid experience, because it's cool to see the characters flying around, there's like the sort of scripted events that happen in that. I think this is my favorite of the three different, you know, modes they added with the GDA ops as well. This one is my favorite because it was the most chaotic and the most fun of like you're screaming at the person that is shooting you and you're mad at them, and then immediately have to be like, okay, I'm on their team now. I'm also a Sequid because I died. Like, and it's such a fun just cycle that you don't even really know when it's going to end, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's only one left, let's go get him, and it's over.
It's also cool too to see like characters, because we try to play with characters that aren't invincible, like some of us did, but it's cool seeing like Korra or like Zuko from Avatar with a Sequid Solid on their snake. Face.
Yeah.
Fuck Wyatt, man. I'm like, I have PTSD now. I can't play Metal Gear. Every time I'd see Wyatt for a second and then I'd be dead. As soon as I see him close enough to be like, oh, a Solid Snake, dead. Yeah. Now I'm a human.
Yep. Really cool additions, like the Sequid like tentacles on the side of the screen and everything like that. Like there's some cool. There's a and like the whole environment, the whole Mars environment was really neat. Like that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, the size of the map too was
perfect.
Like it was chaotic because at one point we were playing 10v10.
We opened it up and we went into a full lobby with a bunch of strangers and they were all building and it was
And it was like and that big of a party was like back and forth. So winning was like incredible when it happened because it took a while to do it. But when it was just the, I think there were like seven of us playing, so it was 3v4. Mm-hmm. Those were fun too. They were pretty quick.
Yeah, it was fun.
Also because very fun having all of us on mic with each other, because we would get to the point where we're like, wait, there's six of us on this team. There's only one left. Who is it? And then eventually I would be like, it's me.
Yeah. He's like, I can't tell you
where I am. I'm hiding.
And then TJ would just be like, Wyatt just killed me. Shit. Now I'm like, that is two versus us. And we had a blast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of video games, though, this article comes from IGN. Skybound's latest crowdfunding campaign aims to raise money to develop a new Invincible game. Skybound Entertainment has announced a crowdfunding campaign to develop a new game set in the Invincible universe. Skybound said the funds would be used to develop a AAA title based on the comic book series created by Robert Kirkman. The campaign, which launched today, has already surpassed its fundraising goal of $50,000, with over $450,000 currently raised at the time of this writing. This was April 15th. The campaign is scheduled to conclude on April 20th. We are thrilled to launch this regulation crowdfunding campaign on Republic, inviting fans to join us on this new expansion and venture, CEO of Skybound Entertainment David Alpert said. At Skybound, we prioritize fostering meaningful connections with our audience, and this initiative allows fans to not only immerse themselves in the world of Invincible, but also to directly contribute to its expansion. This new Invincible game is to be developed by an internal 30-person studio consisting of industry vets previously employed at studios including Activision Blizzard, EA, and Epic Games. So,
their goal, goal was only $50,000
so
for a AAA title?
Okay, so like right off the bat, that's like something doesn't line up with that. But reading comments and looking into it a little bit more, they are just doing another campaign like the last one. So remember the last time there were shares going up on, you know, through Republic, they were doing their, this is just like that. They're just basically doing, hey, we're going to raise even more money to contribute to the game we have in development.
That so, explains why they,
and that previous like, one was like $8 million raised. So like, or something like that. It was a large number. So this is just like, this is just like them saying, hey, we've, this is a second campaign to be like, to basically announce that they're doing this with the money they already have as a way to like promote it and also to get more money and get more attention on this thing, maybe to gauge interest and everything like that. But yeah, it is interesting. I don't, the calling out AAA is always scary to me, especially from what it seems as though it to be an indie studio, like you're 30 person.
I think they, by calling it a AAA thing, they want people to know it's not like, you know, a DLC pack for an existing game or like some indie, like hand, like, you know, like the Guarding the Globe or something, like it's an actual video, an Invincible video game. So
I
can get behind.
I know, but like, you know what everybody's first thing is going to be? Like, when you say Invincible AAA video game, what is open world,
fucking
Spider-Man?
You're picturing Spider-Man PS4,
Of course. Exactly. So that automatically puts the bar in space. Like, that's impossible. Like, that is not going to happen.
It could take place in space.
There's a there's a game that came out a few years ago. They did a fighting game for Dragon Ball Z, and it wasn't like
Dragon Ball Fighter.
Yeah, something like I never played it, but people loved it, and it wasn't like this huge like Spider-Man, you know, Activision type thing, but people still loved it, and that's kind of where my bar is at.
I agree.
I have a question. Where would you, what would you classify Helldivers as? Would that be a AAA title or less so?
It's a first party game.
Yeah.
I think Arrowhead, I don't know if Arrowhead or, I don't know, that's a good question.
I don't, and I feel like there's been a lot of discussion in the gaming sphere, which granted we are not part of like game journalism and all that. I think there's a lot of debate about what AAA actually means. I'm sure there are some actual like defining terms of like what you could say is AAA. The public knows AAA as The Last of Us and God of War and Spider-Man and a lot of the like first party PlayStation stuff. So I think like you said, Ryan, it is a little like, it does make me nervous them calling it just a AAA Invincible game, because when people hear that, you think of like, you think of Spider-Man, you think of the Batman Arkham games, like you're expecting sort of that style of game, even though they're not saying that. And I think that's good to just remember that AAA can mean a lot of things. It can mean a highly produced, you know, fighting game back and forth that is like the Dragon Ball FighterZ game that has kind of a comic art style. Like it's not necessarily photorealistic either. It could be a lot of different things. This to me is just exciting that it's really just them kind of announcing the intention.
They are
working on a, you know, highly produced, in the Republic thing, it says Skybound is developing a highly produced, high octane bloodbath that is anything but indie. And that almost, that gets me more excited than calling it AAA.
Yes.
Just saying it's anything but indie
tells
us that it's not going to be, for example, like just like the visual novel with Adam Eve, even though that's fantastic. And if we're getting more of that, I'm going to be super happy. This is just saying, hey, this is not what we've already been doing. We want to do something that's above that. And whatever that ends up being, I'm so excited for it. Like that's
good. So here's the definition. In the video game industry, AAA is an informal classification used to classify I don't like classification to classify. Maybe this isn't a good source to read from. But anyways, classified video games produced or distributed by a mid-sized or major publisher, which typically have higher development and marketing budgets than other tiers of games. So yeah, just to like what you said, Wyatt.
Again, it's just I totally think that, and I agree, Wyatt. If they have had said just that, that's incredible. I think that's a perfect description. Just being in our sphere and like seeing things online and comments and everything like that, people immediately went to Spider-Man. That's what they think this is going to be. And I think expectations are, I think it just threw off expectations. I'm not saying that Skybound can't do this and I'm not excited about what they're doing. I just think using AAA is a little scary. But if you want to hear like actual game journalists talk about this, we can't recommend Kinda Funny's coverage enough. They did their Games Daily episode on April 15th. And it's the episode all about the PlayStation 5 Pro details. In that episode, they talk about this at length for a good chunk of time. And they go into details about like the amount of money and what a studio, you know, how much money it should take to be able to pull this off. And what size studio and you know, 30 people, what is that? You know, all that. And their coverage on it was very good. But like you were just saying, an Invincible video game was announced. That's the headline that we should be running with. Like that is really exciting. Yeah. And they're taking it seriously, like you're saying, Bill. Like, they're going to take this seriously and make something that is a higher quality. That's really great. That's so cool.
And they said it's a fighting game, right? Did they say it's a fighting game?
It just says a triple A video game. Yeah, they haven't said the genre of game, which is where I think maybe it's up in the air of what genre game specifically they're going to land on. But I hope that whatever the next news is kind of that is saying either it's an open world game where it is you're going to be like moving around an open map, or it's going to be a fighting game, or it's going to be something
like a brawler kind of in or something that,
like some of the Dragon Ball games where you can kind of fly off your destination, but then it's about a fight that happens in the story. And then
I did to the next watch one. Because they brought it up on that Kinda Funny discussion. They did compare, like Blessing was talking about Dragon Ball Kakarot. And so I watched the IGN review of that game and I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, you can like, it is semi-open world that almost looks Superman 64-ish where it's very limited areas.
But then you can go up, you can go back.
Then you go
into kidding, right? Wait, stop everyone. TJ, are you joking?
Did you play it?
You are.
It's known as one of the worst
fucking
games.
Terrible.
It's known as like, one of the worst games ever made.
It's amazing. I loved it.
Oh my God. I remember when it came out, me and my friend Dan Brierley went and rented it from Blockbuster for his Nintendo 64, thinking it was going to be the greatest thing ever, and we couldn't fucking get out of the tutorial, and it was
the rings.
Terrible.
What?
It was terrible.
And then right after the rings, you go into the subway, and then you get to fight people, and you get
you try to pick up a car. I remember trying to pick up a car.
Nobody has seen the subway, TJ.
I know there's probably no feasible way to do this, but I would love nothing more than to have TJ stream playing Superman 64. But Bill has to watch with him. And it's just the two of them.
I would love
you know what? If TJ can get past the tutorial, I'll be like this. Like, oh my God, I never thought
true.
I'd see
it's all brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah. But yeah, a fighter, a brawler. I mean, any type of, you know, I mean, story. Anything with story would be awesome, too. We always have, in the past, have talked about something Telltale. We've gotten a little bit of that with the Adam Eve thing. So yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what they do. But it's
we always talk about how, like, our pipe dream is like a fighting game, but honestly, like you could go anywhere with Invincible. Another thing is like, I would be cool with it being kind of like a Telltale thing, which we've also talked about because of the story of Invincible and where that can go. And yeah, I don't really care what it is. I trust them. I think that's going to be good.
I think I've never played this Dragon Ball game, but it sounds like that would be the best thing. Like if it's a hybrid, it doesn't even have to be like a classification. Like what is Sifu? Like,
Sifu is a great example.
Sifu is a masterpiece. Yeah. That's what Sifu is. It's
that would be something that's like side scroller brawler kind of like fighting game. Ooh,
maybe not even side scroller,
like
but yeah, that's I don't really want like you know that kind of thing. I would rather have like a fucking Arkham fighting system or
like it's a bunch of
Mordor,
like reanimate
you know
coming
I mean?
In on you. Yeah,
dude, it'd be sick. You know, with fun story and other little parts that isn't just like that fighting scenario. I think could be really, really cool.
Tell me how proud you are, Sifu.
So the last thing I want to bring up for Invincible news is kind of tied to this, and I want to bring it up just because it got headlines and it was out there. So I want to clarify some things here in that pitch document on Republic where where Skybound was announcing the campaign to raise money for this Invincible game. In the details, it talked about how season 3 was in production, and then it also said renewed for seasons 4 and 5, which a lot of people picked up as like, oh shit, it's renewed for seasons 4 and 5, but there was no official announcement. And then this was later taken down. IGN ran the story that said that this has been, you know, taken down. It has been confirmed to have been incorrect, and it is not confirmed for seasons 4 and 5. So take that what it is, you know, obviously that would be very exciting. If it is official, and when it is official, we will obviously talk about it and be very excited about it. But in the meantime, it's not official, and hopefully we get an announcement soon.
I mean, just by reading all the things that like led up to that, like of mm-hmm. like how successful the show is, it should come sure. as no surprise.
Yeah,
true. You know,
I will say though, when we get that to the skeptics of it not like being or of it being real, or that it was actually real, was the last time we interviewed Kirkman after season 1. Leading up to the finale, that week leading up to the finale of season 1, it got renewed for seasons 2 and 3. And we asked him on the interview, how long have you known that it got renewed before you announced it? And he said, oh, days.
Maybe, so, yeah.
So, not even. I mean, if it truly was renewed for seasons 4 and 5, I really think that they would have announced it. They're not going to wait and long enough. So I don't. Like, I believe them when they say.
You got to assume. Don't get excited yet. Whoever wrote that document for Republic for the campaign was hoping, and they were optimistic that this was going to be picked mm-hmm. up by then, and it didn't happen. So they never removed it, and it was just an accident. But
hear me out. Or hear me out.
Oh boy.
Or they want to make the announcement when they announce the season 3 release date, which is going to be this year, November.
Okay.
So they're going to have a big thing. They're going to announce that it's been picked up for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 maybe. And then with the release date or yeah. window mm-hmm. for season 3.
Okay.
That's my hot take. Fucking pizza bet, TJ.
I think they're going to get, two news items out of it instead of one.
No. Yeah. One big gigantic one. They owe it to the fans. Listen to me. They owe it to the fans for the break, for the mid break in season 2. They're gonna make it a big deal.
All right. Well, we'll see.
What we got for season 2, they don't owe a shit.
Yeah.
I agree, but I can be the optimist and say that, you know, we're going to get that. At C2E2.
My big takeaway from that being left on there is I just hope whoever accidentally left that text in there is not in too much trouble. People make mistakes. It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't get them in too much trouble.
Yes. And again, check sources. Like if you see that, oh, somebody so-and-so on Twitter says that it's announced, go to Skybound, go to Invincible Official. Like none of those were actually announcing.
I think you were the one, Ryan, who like saw that was on there and sent us the text message being like, do you guys see this? And my first response was, oh no, someone's in trouble.
I know.
Like,
a few of our
that can't be the official way they're telling us. Yeah, so
a few of our listeners reached out to us and was like, is this real? And I'm like, it's an accident. It's gotta be an accident.
Yeah.
But
listen, we've all CC'd somebody on accident on an email that we did not want to go to that person. You know how that feels. So let's hope, to Wyatt's point, you know, that someone didn't get into too much trouble.
That's right. All right. So on to our emails. We've got a lot of emails to talk about. A lot of listeners wrote in with their thoughts on the finale. So it's exciting to kind of like talk now openly with the listeners, see what they thought of the end, and look at some doodles too, which I got to make sure to queue up so I can send you guys via text as we get to them. So first up is actually going to be Bill. Bill, you have the first email for us to read.
Let me get to that. Here we go. Holy moly, for real this time. I absolutely love how Immortal wasn't just Abraham Lincoln, but he was Jesus too. I think we need to talk about this a little bit. I think it's implied with the Grail, right?
I think it's the Holy Grail being there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It really makes a lot of sense and shows how many different
he put
ways...
holy in quotes. So yeah,
he put holy in quotes. Yeah. Tried to help humanity throughout his life, a brilliant addition to his character development. Man, I think that might get some backlash, though, like, depending on how people take it. But anyways, was very happy with the finale and with all that setup. Season 3 is going to be the wildest yet. Exciting times. Do you think Philip Schaff teased the Season 3 release date in his conversation with Mark, March 2025 for Season 3? I would... Oh, did I skip something?
You did.
Oh, maybe. Seems like they put a little something in this finale for each of you. Some heavy-hitting emotional moments for Ryan. Some great variations on the main musical theme for Wyatt. Future Rex for TJ. And talking dinosaurs for Bill. I'm here for all of it. I'll take it. Let's see. Maybe I'm too optimistic at inferring... The season three tease. Thanks again for all your hard work. This season, you remain a shining beacon of light in the discussion of the greatest comic book, and dare I say, animated series in the universe, brighter than a blast from the Infinity Ray itself. Cheers, Murad. P.S. The Holy Grail was in the comic too. I guess it's how they made it gleam that made me realize it was the Holy Grail. Pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
That is absolutely a question. I don't think it's ever been.
We've never made that.
Yeah, we've never. So I think that's a great question for Robert Kirkman.
I was going to say, put it on the list for the end of season three discussion that we when we have him on again.
Yeah, I like it. All right. I've got one here from Scott. Hey, everyone. It's Scott from Topeka here again. Really enjoyed season two, but I wish to share my thoughts, suggestions, and critiques. Just saw the last episode of the second season. Here's what I think just from watching the show. They didn't make Levy. It's weird to say Levy when it's just Levy. Like Angstrom Levy, I know to say Levy, but when it's Levy by itself, I want to say Levy.
Yeah.
They didn't make Levy seem as important as he should be. When we first met Levy, he can jump between worlds and get special weapons that can even stop the super strong Viltrumites. But in the show, they just had him moving between worlds. Where was the smart Levy who could think like 1,000 Levies with all the knowledge of 1,000,000 dimensions? Why did he just try to use brute force when he's supposed to be this mad mastermind? Why not trap Mark in a never-ending loop or give Mark a Sophie's choice between saving his mom or brother? Or why didn't Levy have a failsafe where if he lost the fight, then he creates a portal that leads to a black hole sucking Mark in or something? Really just any plan that shows the intellect. I liked the start of season two where they showed other versions of Mark doing horrible things. I think it would have been cool to, rather than show all the malevolent marks in the finale, start each episode in season two with those scenes to make us understand why Levy was acting so crazy. And then, at the end of each episode, they could show Levy getting ready for his big plan. This would allow Levy to be a more impactful character, fresh on our minds, and give us just enough of a tease to make us really scared for what was coming. Cheers, Scott.
All right. I'd like to put in my two cents first. So he talks about how Levy should have been smarter and the mastermind and all that stuff. I don't think Levy is that smart. I think that the intellect of all the other Levies is just he wanted their knowledge of that universe, not necessarily like how to be smart like robot and think, you know, 15 steps ahead. And he even talks about it. He wanted to kill Mark with his bare hands. Like that was what he wanted to do in the first part, you know, or the first place. So
I like how you compared it to a different villain than someone like someone of high intelligence, like a robot or something, where Angstrom Levy was all about that revenge and he was fueled on that. Like I'm just going to come up with a bunch of different dimensions to weaken him. And then I want to kill him with my bare hands, make me strong enough to take him on. Yeah. And he just completely underestimated him and got in his own ego and was not at all thinking of like, different nefarious ways to put him in all these different scenarios that he wasn't trying to do that. He didn't care about Debbie or Oliver. Yeah. He even said that.
Even in the comics, Angstrom isn't that, you know, two steps ahead kind of thing ahead of Mark. He's a little smart, but he's got knowledge of all these other dimensions that they exist and where they are. That's really, I think, the extent of his intellect. TJ, do you love Angstrom Levy?
No,
he was your guy.
I agree with that. Like he's not known for being like super smart, like robot is exactly what you said. Like he's as smart as the smartest Angstrom in another, you know what I mean? In another dimension. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean he's robot smart. So yeah, I agree.
And I do like the idea of what he says of like, oh, we could have had like a cold open with an alternate mark each episode. Yeah. I think there's probably a version of the season that works that does that. Mm-hmm. I love the way they did it in the finale, though, and held off, because I feel like episode one sets you up to be like, here's Angstrom's origin, and you kind of get it. You get that he's kind of gone insane by the end of it and just wants to kill Mark. And then the end, having those scenes just back to back to back of gruesome, like, yeah, awful things that Mark is doing, like, it made us feel gross watching it, and it, yeah, made you be like, okay, I kind of get why you would hate Mark in this universe, mm-hmm, and think that he's a bad guy and want to do this. So, yeah, I like it all at once because of the sort of the impact shock that it had. Yeah. I'm sure there's a version of it that could have worked the other way too.
Not only that, but it also explains why he's crazy. It explained why he's, yeah, crazy, because to get them all at once, it was him being confused, and it's like, no, like, yeah, I remember how it happened, and he was a good guy. Wait, no, he wasn't a good guy, because he killed this, and, yeah, he did this, and he did this, and it's like, it better showed what's going on in his brain rather than just showing this is how he died, this is how, like, what Invincible did in this universe, and then the next, yeah, episode what he did in this universe, and so on.
Because it is like, it, that scene is Debbie trying to pull him out of it and being like, listen, you're the villain here and Mark is a good guy, and then it's all of the other Angstroms in his head being like, no, he's evil, he's evil, he's evil, and, yeah, you're right, TJ, you get what Angstrom is going through in that moment, and it makes you understand him.
I remember it was the end of episode 2 of the season that we see Angstrom go to another dimension. We see that other Mark, like, tied, like, you know, in shackles or whatever. And I remember we thought, oh, are we going to get a little bit of this as we go? Which is kind of what Scott is talking about, but instead at the beginning. And while that is pretty cool, and like you're saying, Wyatt, I could see a version of that. I think it would have been a little jarring too, to see a different Mark in every episode and then to flip back, yeah, and forth between, like, holy shit, he's just decapitating people. And now here's our Mark doing the right thing and swearing to be a good guy.
Yeah,
all of it, like, showing too much back and forth between all those marks would have been a little disorienting.
Yeah. Also, it would have, if they had done that, it would have really been a very, I feel like, linear path. Like, you know that it's going to build up to Angstrom. True. And it would have been a show about Angstrom, Levy,
right,
and less about Mark and what he was going through. Not to mention, I think that I don't really like when the audience is in on it. Right. And the main characters aren't, because you're like, just fucking, we know what's going to happen. Like, why is the main character?
We talked,
like,
about this when,
who are you, you know, in season one,
so with Omni Man, yeah, like, that, exactly, was a conversation that we had a lot about, like, yeah, we all know he's the bad guy. He killed everybody. Why, right, is this, like, but they did it well.
Yeah.
Like,
that's, and I think that it made more of an impact when Mark was like, who are you? Because, yeah, he hasn't seen him since the fucking first episode. And neither have we. So we were like, yeah, wait a minute. Who are you? And I think it just, yes, I would have liked to see more of Angstrom just because he's a great character. But I also really appreciate why they didn't do that, because I feel like that's almost what everything does,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
make that villain kind of back here.
And if you think about it, like, we're going into the season knowing, not only from reading the comic, but from even, like, interviews and press they did, that this season was going to be the season of Angstrom, that he was going to be the main threat. Whereas other people who are just, like, they found the show and just finished binging season one and are starting season two, Angstrom could be like a Kahoor, you know what I mean? A random villain that pops up and then goes away for a while, and they're like, well, maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't, and then it does. Like, that, I like, yeah, that as a story.
You never know who's a big threat until they are.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I have
what
an
if
email.
Kahoor, what if Kahoor comes out when Conquest comes in and he's like, this is my planet, and Conquest just, like, backhands him and just obliterates him. And that's, like, the whole thing. That's the ending of Kahoor.
No, Kahoor needs a male host. It's going to be Conquest. He'll just possess Conquest.
There you go.
All right, TJ, sorry.
I have an email from Kanye, and he says, hey, guys, I just finished the show.
K-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah. I was like, really? You wrote it?
Why? It's like, really?
He was the listener.
No, sorry. From Yeezy himself. He says, hey, guys.
I don't think we can read his emails. What he's been saying lately, I don't think we can read his emails.
It's K-A-Y-N-E.
I'm not a good reader.
It's not that far off.
Shut
it's
up.
Not that far off.
It's just one letter. Two letters just switched, all right? Whatever. All right. Hey, guys, I just finished the show and I'm hoping to start reading the comics soon. I absolutely loved the Fortnite reference in the finale. When I started watching, I was instantly drawn in by the deep character arcs and overarching narrative. I started listening to the podcast on Spotify for the season 2, episode 7 breakdown, and since then have been going through and listening to old videos. Hopefully this makes it into the next episode. Hope you enjoy my drawing of Omni-Man.
Oh, are you sending it, Ryan?
Kane, I just sent it through the text, and actually sent another email saying they just started reading the comics or are about to start reading the comics.
Dang!
Isn't that good?
That is awesome.
Very good.
Wow!
That's really, really good.
Hmm. Yeah.
It even has the like bloodshot eyes from the end of season 1. That's awesome.
Yeah I love the blood from the neck, too. That's sweet. You can't have Omni-Man without a little bit of blood.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, very exciting that they're deciding to start reading the comics too. Just keep send in some emails as you get to those big moments in the comic and let us know.
Check out read along with the new reader episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I think would be a fun segment that we do have people write in? Talk about their favorite old episode. And I'm talking like it's got to be at least 2 or 3 years old before the show came out.
You mean of the podcast?
Yeah, and then we talk about that. Don't absolutely, that. I think that we should do that. Do that.
Didn't we do something? Haven't we done something?
I'm fine with that because I only joined the podcast officially like a year ago. So
you can be our first entry. You can be our first entry then. Yeah.
We've looked back on old episodes every now and then, and it's rough.
Yeah, but we've never heard from fans like, you know, this episode was terrible. Talk about it. This episode.
It is funny every now and then we get someone that writes in that says, "Oh yeah, it started. I went back and catching up on old episodes." It's like, oh god. Yeah. All right, Wyatt, you got the next one, right?
Yes, I have the next one. Hey there, Invincible Podcast. Now that season 2 is behind us, I had an interesting question that I'd love to get your perspectives on. Hopefully it will generate some thoughtful discussion.
Oh boy.
Why has Cecil never hired the Maulers? We know that their cloning and mind mapping technology is advanced enough that both Robot and Angstrom go to extreme measures to enlist their help. Surely Cecil knows that tech like this would aid the U.S. interests just as much, if not more, than the Reanimen. While the Maulers don't mind killing, they don't seem to be motivated by it. In fact, I'm pretty certain the only lethal violence we see them commit in the comics or show are to each other, poor Pete's arm and concussion notwithstanding. They're actually one of Invincible's most pragmatic villains and seem like they'd be perfectly happy with a stack of money and freedom to do science. Easy levers for Cecil to pull. Most of the time, the crimes we see them committing are breaking and entering, theft, and prison breaks. They did attempt to kill the president poorly and failed to kill Invincible and Robot in their fights. Maybe they're blacklisted by others in the Pentagon for that reason. On the other hand, D.A. Sinclair chopped up a bunch of innocent 20-somethings. When you weigh the two, one seems far worse. It makes no sense that Cecil wouldn't attempt some kind of diplomacy. They did ultimately revive the immortal when Cecil could not. They think he's an idiot, but nobody seems particularly grateful for it. If Cecil had hired them to work at the GDA, then things with Angstrom could have gone very differently. So what gives? Why do Sinclair's crimes get pardoned, but the Maulers' crimes, arguably less severe, do not? They aren't homicidally insane the way Doc Seismic or Dinosaurus are. They can be
insane. Stop that.
They can be reasoned with because several other characters do exactly that. Is Cecil's judgment clouded? What is the Maulers' history pre-Invincible with the GDA anyway? Just food for thought. Thanks, Nick Maudlin.
Oh, I thought it was Nike. The corporation who wrote in. It's Nick?
Nick.
Weird.
So,
Weezy,
all right.
Maybe.
So I saw this email ahead of time, so I have some thoughts. Yeah. I think we see a good example of why they wouldn't work with Cecil in the animated series. Both with Robot and with Angstrom, it blows up in their face, literally both times. And they even say, this is why we don't work with anyone else. They are all about working with themselves, literally, 100%. And themselves. Like, this is one Mahler that is obsessed with only working with himself. So there's two of them to work together. And I think as far as, like, yes, in a perfect world, like, yeah, absolutely. This their genius coupled with the Cecil, I mean, hell, Engstrom's abilities coupled with Cecil, if they got it to figure it out. Yeah, of course, I think that would be great. And I think it would be beneficial. But I think the Maulers, as intelligent as they are just a little under the radar from Cecil. They're just criminals to him. Yeah, they're smart. They're getting into things, and maybe they're, you know, a little smarter than Cecil realizes. But yeah, I just don't think that they're not. I mean, someone like D.A. Sinclair, who you compare it to, I think that was a I think Cecil sees that as an opportunity to as someone that he can control. And I don't know.
D.A. Sinclair is very easily manipulated. I think the Maulers aren't. I think that it takes a very strong finesse and someone who actually knows how to like work people, like if we're spoiling stuff, or if you want to spoil or something, like who they eventually did work with. You know, you have to be very, very smart how to use somebody's obsession against them, I guess. I'm trying to not be too spoilery here.
You can be spoilery. We make it very clear. We're out of the season too.
So when the Maulers work for Rex, Robot, towards the end, it's because Robot knows what they want and how to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Manipulate,
use it against them. But whatever the word is, but persuade. Yeah, I think not persuade.
That's all right.
I don't know what the word is, but you said it pretty well too, Ryan. Like they're too smart for Cecil, and I think it wouldn't have worked either way because they would eventually want to do their own thing. So,
and I also like as far as Cecil as a character, I feel like he's the type of character that we shouldn't know everything about. And I like to imagine there could have been a time where he approached them and was like, listen, I know you guys are doing some like crazy brain transplant science stuff. Let me bring you into my facilities. And to your point, Ryan, they openly have said this is why we don't work with anyone. Like, I think they probably have like they don't trust Cecil. He's a government agent. Like, they
The idea of want to work with maybe him, they've tried this. Maybe they've tried that in the past and it just didn't work out well.
Or the opposite. I mean, the show's just starting. Who's to say that they don't in the future?
Yeah,
they could explore that.
And that is the change. That is a change from the comics that I would be welcome for. I wouldn't at all say, "Oh, this is stupid. Why are they doing this?" I'd be like, "Oh, wow, that's really fucking cool."
But it was a cool thought exercise, whatever you want to call it, Nick. And I'm glad you wrote in with that because that was a good one. I liked that.
Agreed.
Bill, you have the next one for us.
I do. Hello, Invincible Podcast boys. To start out with my overall thoughts on the season, Invincible Season 2 was truly everything that I hoped it would be and more. Even though I had a good idea of where things were going, having already read the comics, I was still shocked at how much of the source material we managed to get out to get this season. The way they managed to up everything from the first season while still keeping the focus on the characters and their struggles made for some very compelling stuff. Not to mention the animation this season was spectacular. As you can tell, the crew have learned a lot since production of the first season. All of the voice cast did a fantastic job, but the standouts for me were definitely Steven Yeun as Mark and Sterling K. Brown as Angstrom Levy. The finale was probably my favorite episode this season, not only because of how much happens in it, but because of how incredible Yeun and Brown's performances were. And Debbie.
Yeah.
Although the finale was my favorite episode, my favorite moment from the whole season was when Mark met Philip Schaff, and they had that meta moment about producing an animated series, like how they had that moment in the comics where they make fun of comics and how they're made. Plus, Rexplode finally getting his due and seeing why he's such a cool character is something I know TJ is going to appreciate. Much love, Owen Siler, pronounced Siler, not Sailor. Have we said
Sailor? I've been saying Sailor.
I've always said Sailor.
Yeah, it comes as no surprise now, especially during this episode. You should see how much we struggle.
It's very Kirkman-esque too.
Yeah. P.S. Keeping up with the tradition of submitting in doodles, this is one I drew from the season finale. Hope you guys like it. So here is Owen's doodle.
Very cool.
Right?
Nice. Awesome.
Agent Spider from Invincible Season 2, Episode 8.
I thought you were stronger.
Yep. My own sailor.
Well, oh my god. Everyone is
great.
So much better than us.
Awesome.
Yeah. Can I just say, Owen, one time I was told by my third grade teacher that I had the handwriting of a serial killer. Third grade. Because my handwriting is absolutely terrible. And your handwriting is not quite that bad, but the fact that your handwriting is that bad and you drew this well is crazy to me.
The handwriting of a serial killer, I just picture you at your desk cutting out letters from a magazine. And
that's what it was, yeah, because I didn't know how to, I couldn't do it, so I had to use whatever I could find.
I don't know if we've talked about this. I don't think we have, but the amount of love that Agent Spider got, especially that first weekend, like showing up as mods in the Insomniac Spider-Man game, like
so cool.
The amount of drawings
within less than a week, than 7 days, there were mods. Crazy.
Yeah. And it looks amazing. Like, I love all of it. Josh Keaton was a fun follow on Twitter and all the things that he's been retweeting and talking about.
Yeah. Oh, and great job, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool. Definitely. All right, TJ, you're up.
Am I up? No, all right. This one comes from Guillermo. He says,
nope, this is Alex.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry.
Just because I have the doodle lined up.
Gotcha. Guillermo's to come. Stay tuned.
Spoiler.
Del Toro? Him too? And we are so famous.
A lot of celebrity emails today.
This one comes from
TJ
Alex
Vega,
and he says, hey, Invincible Podcast, just want to say that Wyatt has been a great addition to the podcast, bringing a lot of interesting insights and theories to the team. You know, I know Bill is probably rolling his eyes right now. We all are. Alex, we all are.
Not me. I'm loving it. Keep going.
But speaking of Bill, I think the Mach 10 flying scene was so fucking cool. Also, just adds to the scenes with Anissa and Angstrom teasing him that he wouldn't be fast enough, that he wouldn't be fast enough to save Amber and Debbie's lives. Love the season, love this season 10 out of 10, and keep up the entertaining videos. Invincible Podcast forever. Alex.
I think that is a great call out. The fact that like both of them were saying you wouldn't be fast enough to stop them. And then like you get this moment of him like going faster than he's ever been because he's thinking about how like his family within the last 24 hours have and loved ones have been challenged like that he wasn't fast enough.
Yeah.
Look at this doodle.
This is incredible. This isn't a doodle. This is a professional.
Where are these coming from?
Wait.
Alex, write us a hand incredible note so we can see how bad your handwriting is, because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
So Alex is actually an awesome artist too, and he has you should check him out on Facebook. If you haven't seen
Instagram,
it's
on here.
Instagram, that's what I meant. I'm at Instagram. Alex Ortega 1. His art is sweet, so check that out.
All of these doodles are incredible, guys. I'm like
flabbergasted. We've got more. We've got a lot. Like, we've got like 10
TJ,
doodles.
Do they get better? Do they get progressively better? Games. Because this is crazy.
TJ, if you showed me this and said this was a commission that you just got, I would believe you. Yeah. I would believe that you paid Alex for this.
For sure. Like, that is very cool.
And it's it's really good. All right, I've got one here. This comes from our friend Mitch Krassen. Hey crew, what a great way to spend a season. Congrats on doing all the great episode breakdowns. The finale really did a great job of reminding me that despite how much we all have personal favorite parts and characters, there really is no arguing how tremendous of a character Mark is. He's some of the best parts of what makes us human, even as a Viltrumite. His capacity for love for his mom and those around him is just the best. Question that could potentially be an episode for y'all during the downtime. Now that we have 16 episodes, how would you rank them? Maybe a cool individual list, then combined to a larger definitive Invincible Podcast list, a la Kind of Funny Game of the Year, would be kind of cool. Personally, episode 7 of the second season is one of the best for so many reasons. Mm. One last wild prediction from me. The weird mummy man is actually the spaghetti monster. See ya, Mitch Krassen.
Oh,
wow.
Well, now we have two episode ideas, right? Because we can just spend a whole episode talking about Kahula.
I mean, it makes sense because his little wrappings could eventually come off. And oh, man, it's there. It's definitely there.
There's something there.
Do some headcanon, yeah.
I like that it'll take us like 8 seasons to go from Kahula being this like kind of dumb mummy to this just like omnipotent being that sends people back in time. He just gets smarter every season.
Yes.
I like it.
I don't even know if we can do a quick version of a tease for what that is, because that is definitely an episode where we talk about out of ranking, the 16 episodes, 17 if you count Adam Eve, where would we rank them and do like a ranking and like, you know, put our own personal top 5 and then add them all up or whatever to kind of see where the definitive Invincible podcast episode ranking is.
Yeah. I would need prep time, honestly.
I would need
prep time. I know my number 1 and maybe my number 2, but I don't think I know beyond that. It's hard to decide.
My top 3 is fluctuating in my mind. I could do
a top 5, I think. I could do a top 5. 3 would be top.
Right now? I couldn't.
No, not right now.
Okay.
I don't think right now. Yeah, maybe. I did a quick glance. I might be able to.
All right, but I do love that idea. I do love that idea. No. We're definitely going
to
do that.
Just to tease, then.
We'll do
just,
it.
To keep it simple, just of season 2, what do you think is your favorite? And it doesn't have to be a definitive. You can go back on this later. Mm-hmm. Ooh. I think I have to say 7. I think I have to say 7. The breakup and the Anissa stuff were so.
Get that. I get why people choose other episodes besides 4, because like 7 has all of the dramatic stuff and the emotional stuff, but it has a lot of funny stuff too. Like it has some lighthearted stuff also.
I think I got my second favorite as well from season 2. And
no, you can't say it, TJ.
I know. It's not 4 though. I'm sorry.
I know what one you guys are going to say, but I'll save that because I'm sure Bill's going to choose it. For me, season 2, episode 4 is the clear, obvious one. It's the Dark Knight. It's that one. Like, it really is. I mean, that has to be my answer too. And again, we said we can amend this going like,
yeah, you know, this is fully amendable.
But honestly, like when you say Invincible season 2 to me, the image that I get is Omni-Man in front of the black hole and how that scene mirrors Debbie on the bridge. Like it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Fucking perfect. It's one of that mirroring was like one of the best things I've seen in media in a long time. So go ahead, Bill.
So that episode, that's the one that ends with like Mark beating Dula, right? Is that
yep?
And Lucan coming in and pushing him down with the okay. So 4 is there. Like it might be my number 1, but it's definitely my number 2. But like the season finale is
that's not what I thought you were gonna say.
You thought I was gonna say the Allen episode?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say
really?
3.
Those three. But like there were moments obviously with Angstrom because I was shocked by how well Brown did with
Sterling K.
Like,
Brown.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown, how he changed what he was in the first episode to what he was here. I was like, "Oh damn, okay." And I talked about it like this is why he was cast. He really fucking did his homework and made this his own role. But just those moments of like Mark curling up on the hospital bed with Debbie, like that moment alone almost made me cry. Yeah. The stuff with fucking Oliver hitting his head, like I can't.
Yeah,
so
I can't wait. We're gonna. Do
I almost feel like we can do like the ranking of episodes. It would also even be fun to do a like pick a standout performance of a scene, a performance. What is your like? Maybe not favorite, but like one that you would say is the top, showing how great the performances are in the show, which is the one that you would choose. We joke about
like, oh, it's so tough to like pick a top 5. Wyatt, that is truly an impossible
I know,
thought.
I know.
It truly
it's an embarrassment of riches.
It'd be really hard to pick one for Debbie, but between 7 and episode 7 and 8, I mean, between Sterling K. Brown stuff and Zazie Beetz stuff, like, oh God, those two episodes had so much as far as performances.
I have a suggestion for a future episode then, because I think doing doing our rank of everything or even just mm-hmm. season two would be, we all talk too much. We all have our own ways of describing things. I think that we should each have our own episode where we do our own recap. So like, you know, episode, this one is Ryan does his entire season, like rank and talks about it. Bro, that could be an hour right there.
Wait, are you saying that every episode there's a segment where one of us gives our top five or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
And lead up to
as opposed to doing an entire episode where we each do our top five.
Right. I think Bill, you're saying like, yeah, let's just like do this because we all talk too much. It's a podcast. We talk.
So you want it to be a 4 hour long episode? I'm not gonna. If I do my top five or top whole thing, then it's I'm not editing it.
We will be doing a ranking episode. We will talk more about this off air and come up with the best way to do it. But I am excited to do something.
Shop talk. We'll discuss.
Good stuff. Good stuff though. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, I have the next one here. It says, hello, the Invincible podcast. What a finale. We as fans are so lucky Steven Yeun is Mark Grayson. Aside from the bone-chilling screams as he's killing Levy, Yeun also plays the subtle sides of Mark so well, like when he tries to reason with Levy. I caught myself that time.
See?
Also, having Yeun voice evil Mark is going to be so much fun in season three.
Oh my God, why did I never even think about that?
Oh man. Yeah. Well, and we get that a little bit with obviously in this first episode, but with the yellow suited Mark. Oh, poor Angstrom. I'll kill him quick for you. Like, it's chilling. Yeah, it's too much. I was also very pleasantly surprised to see Jason Mantzoukas voice adult Robot. With what Robot goes through later on in the comic, he is my favorite character other than Invincible, so I was worried if he could pull that voice off. Mm-hmm. But after seeing Jason perform Rex's character arc in season two and hearing his one line in the finale, I have no doubts that the combination of Zachary Quinto and Jason will make an amazing Robot.
Excellent.
Which was very cool to see that confirmed in the episode, which you guys asked Kirkman about that on your episode 100, right? At the end of and he kind of explained how that would work. But again, it's very complicated. So even when it happened for me watching it, it was like, oh yeah, so that's how he'll sound.
You're right. It was cool to hear because I went back and listened to that episode 100 with Kirkman and him saying, yeah, this is how it would work before they recorded that and did that. And now here they did it and it worked.
Knowing where Robot goes.
Yeah, man.
So cool.
Cannot wait to see what that's going to look and sound like.
He continues and says, can't wait for your season three prediction shows. Thanks for everything you all do for the Invincible community. My episode 8 doodle is of the best relationship in all of comics beginning to blossom. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Sam.
Sam Raimi! Sam Raimi, everybody.
Oh my God.
From now on, if you don't tell us your last name, you're getting a famous one.
Damn straight.
This is a great
doodle. That's awesome. That's a great doodle.
That's really, really good.
Very good.
Nice. Well done.
Oh man.
Amazing scene.
Look at Eve's butt. Well done.
TJ. You've got the next episode.
And you'll
I
have the next email, not the next episode.
I meant
and you're never gonna guess from who. Guillermo writes in and he says, I knew SKB, Sterling K. Brown, was a great actor, but wow, did he crush his performance as Angstrom. Seeing him play an antagonist role in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as the murder suspect was great and gave a nice preview to his role as Levy, but I don't think anyone was prepared for the clinic he put on in the finale of season two. I watched most of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't remember that, though.
I
want to start from scratch and reread it.
I want to say Guillermo wrote in ahead of time because I remember somebody bringing up, hey, he was
Yeah,
someone did talk about it.
We gotta find that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes on and he says, I had goosebumps the entire time. Every line he dropped was bar. What is that? Is that a thing?
Was bar? A bar. Higher bar.
Was a bar. A bar.
Oh, I never
heard like that. If you're rapping, you're like
rapping, you're dropping bars.
He's dropping bars. Yeah. Oh, okay. We're learning. Yeah. We're learning.
Are we showing our age? Are we not? are we pushing?
A lot of people say that about Magneto in X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just bars for days. You know, he's just dropping bars.
Every line was a bar. No cap. His delivery was so excellent. that I really felt all the emotions he was displaying, and it really put the audience in Engstrom's shoes. Now the excruciating wait for season three begins. Guess it's time for a reread of the comics. As always, I will watch and listen to your guys' thoughts, Guillermo.
Del Toro.
Awesome. Del Toro in the house.
It's the only all Guillermo right. in famous Guillermo.
The world? Yeah. The world?
Just that right. one.
So I have the next one here. Hey, Invincible Podcast. This is Luis Cortez. One last time for a while. That's sad. I write with my thoughts and doodle for this week's episode and probably... or episode of probably the greatest superhero show in the universe. I love the scenes of Mark, Engstrom, Debbie, and Oliver inside the house. Brown's acting as an unstable Levy, Oliver's crying, and the closed, dark space of the house really evoked fear of domestic violence towards Debbie and Oliver. Whew. Ooh, man.
That's yeah. true, and you don't really think about the setting of that giving you that feeling, but it yeah. is really true that it feels like a home invasion. It feels yeah, like totally. Domestic violence. Like
I didn't like, I'm uncomfortable just reading what I just
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
Man. Still, the show was careful not to victimize Debbie, but to rather show her as a hero under intense stress, protecting Oliver. Season finale is my favorite episode. 100%. And yeah, kudos to that baby voice actor delivering Oliver's crying. Do you think they just found like stock footage of a baby crying, or do you think they had a baby in studio and just showed it like Barney getting decapitated or Bluey getting, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There is a voice actor credited to him, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course I loved Angstrom's added alternate dimension flashbacks. They are short, but effective in contextualizing Angstrom's hatred for Mark. Kudos, especially to the comparison of the execution flashback of the execution flashback where Mark decapitates a line of prisoners. Dude, you wrote contextualizing, composition, and decapitates all in one sentence almost. I hate you. It is an amazing visual that effectively and it viscerally communicates the hopelessness of Trump's reality.
You got this, Bill.
Oh man, I got this. I can do it.
Bill, you just read those words. I'm proud of you, you know.
Thank you. I'm the word guy, damn it. Upon rewatch, I noticed an interesting detail. When Debbie tells Oliver it's gonna be okay, Angstrom gets bothered and asks Debbie what kind of mother lies to her son like that. Shortly later, in an alternate dimension flashback, Angstrom faces his son and tries to tell him everything's gonna be all right. Oh, ooh. Man.
Yeah. Oh,
ooh.
What?
What? This is both a cool parallel between Debbie and Engstrom. It simultaneously adds depth to Engstrom's character and to his interaction with Debbie. Lastly, Ryan, be strong and don't submit to Bill's peer pressure. Fig yeah. Newtons are awesome.
Ate some yesterday. Oh, ate some yesterday. Thank you.
Of course you did.
Thank you.
Of course you did.
Fig Newtons are good.
And we have a doodle. We have a doodle.
Oh, yeah.
We do. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
This is great.
Nice.
That's so good.
That is really good.
Wait,
look at the collarbones, guys. Look at the collarbones. Incredible job.
Yeah, very I love good. It.
I am absolutely loving all these doodles, yeah. guys.
I always, it was great seeing Lewis's doodles every week. I'm going to miss those. He did such a good job. All right.
So who's next? Do we have another one?
Next up is me. I've got one right here. Okay. This comes from Chris. Hey guys, the last episode was crazy, but that's not the important issue of the night. What everyone really cares about is Bill's preparedness. Honestly, not too shabby, Billy. I saw you grabbing and looking at notes and such. Very sophisticated.
Thank you.
The Invincible Podcast deems your breakdown episode a solid 9.2 out of 10. Losing points only for forgetting that the Holy Grail from Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. So much hate. But I'm impressed once again, so well done. Kick-ass doodle, and thank you for inspiring your fan base to do more. So he also brought up Black Spider from Justice League. And he talked a lot about it. But I don't know if any of us have seen that.
Oh, from Young Justice.
So yes, from Young Justice. So apparently Keaton voiced another alternate Spider-Man type character.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Called Black Spider. and it was really interesting. And I thought that was kind of cool. So check that out. But that's a fun little comparison that he also did. For my doodle, I drew Chainsaw because somebody had to. As always, stay awesome, guys. And thanks for making this season a fucking blast. Love, Chris. P.S. Word guy is more lame than Batman or Spider-Man.
I mean, I guess so, because it doesn't end in man. It ends in guy, which makes it, in my opinion, less lame.
Could have been
word. I like the scene from Invincible where it's how he's talking to Batman, but it's talking to Chris. And he's like, so you're a guy and you speak words and your name is... That's kind of lazy.
That's great. Yes.
Chainsaw is great. That's awesome.
Great Chainsaw.
I hope
you're happy knowing that he was part of that bloody explosion, according to Corey Walker.
Chris, dare I say your best doodle to date?
This is his best doodle to date.
Agreed.
I think so. Everybody's killing it. Everybody's killing it.
Very cool.
All right. I think I have the next one. I do. Hello, Invincible Podcast. How are you guys? I hope this email reaches you on time. What a finale, right? The writing of this season has surpassed my expectations, especially with how they're developing the female characters in the show. I love how Eve and Mark are going through similar character arcs. Eve starts the season by making mistakes that make her question her worth as a hero, and Mark ends the season in a similar position. I expect that Mark and Eve will bond over this in season 3, and I can't wait. Anyway, here's my doodle. Can't wait to hear your season 3 predictions. Have a great day, Mel.
Gibson. Mel Gibson, director of, Passion of the Christ. No, sequel of Passion of the Christ, wrote in to the Invincible Podcast.
What? Awesome. That's where you win.
Oh, it's like...
very cool.
Isn't that cool? We got another.
Oh my god, it's so good. Yeah. The shine on the hair is...
The colors are awesome.
Another level, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. Cool. It almost looks like they colored the other doodle that we had of this scene.
Yeah.
So close.
The collaboration.
Yeah, right? Very good. Very, very cool. Good. Good job.
Well done.
Man.
Yes. And I want to say Mel was, they gave us their at, I don't know if this is Instagram or Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Rever Salomon.
Rever.
Reverse. Reverse lemon. You know what, Bill?
Reverse Salomon.
Fucking post raisin brand. Me and Ryan were playing. We played Mad Gab one time, and he was like post raisin brand. What am I saying? Post raisin brand.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh man.
Wow.
Reverse lemon.
Reverse lemon. Yes. Thank you for that. That was awesome.
To be fair, we've done a lot of reading this episode. So
we did. We have.
That was a lot of fun though. I mean, that was, that was a highlight, getting to read through everybody's and go over all that. So thank you for sending them in. Keep sending them in. We've got a lot of fun episodes planned. You know, we've got some fun interviews kind of lined up that we're excited to do. We've got, you know, obviously our ranking episode. We do have to do that episode. We talk all about episode titles and what we think the titles for episode 3 will be, or season 3 and beyond will be. That's going to be a good one. But more good stuff to come. But we're not done yet. We've got an issue spotlight. First one in over a month. Coming to us from Wyatt. So Wyatt, want to explain issue spotlight for anyone that might be here for the first time?
Yeah, so we do on all of our regular episodes when there's not a show coming out, we do what's called Issue Spotlight, where each of us picks a single issue of the comic. We don't tell the other guests which one it is, so it's a bit of a surprise. We have a discussion as a way to just look back at a single issue, a part of the comic, to revisit the story for whatever reason it may be, whether it's a favorite issue, whether there's a particular reason that you want to look back at it. And then we kind of just break it down, not exactly scene by scene, but talk about why it's special, why we chose that one. So it is my turn once again, since we've kind of circled back around. We do all four of us, and then we usually have a fan submit one as well. Yep. We had just recently had a fan one, so now it's back to me. So does anyone have any guesses about which issue? So far, I can read off the ones that we've already done that I couldn't pick, which are 21, 24, 58, 65, 72, 100, 111, 128, and 141.
So I'm not TJ, and I'm not. I don't know how to read the Matrix, and don't know what is in those issues unless you say a synopsis.
There's certain ones I knew, or I know. I know the ones I did, and I know like issue 100. But yeah, I'm the same.
I don't think I have a guess.
I'm gonna throw. I'm gonna throw like 77 out there.
What is that? Do you even know? TJ. See, there's TJ knows it.
My guy, I think no. I just think it's going to be a random-ish episode, issue. Yeah.
It's out of life.
I'm gonna say 70.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wait, have we? I have a guess.
And I have a
I'm gonna go with. Did we do reboot yet?
No.
I think we did reboot.
I did not do reboot. So this is where I'm in a predicament now, because like we're post season two. So my brain is like, we have talked a lot about Angstrom. We've talked a lot about the Sequids. We talked a lot about the things that happen, you know, in the season two era. So I naturally want to go to like, what's coming next and what like things could be in season three. My first thought was like, maybe it's time I just pick one of the big issues and do Conquest. I don't think I have the energy to like break down any of the Conquest issues. But I picked issue 52.
Ooh, okay.
Not 50 or 51, but I chose 52. And I'll kind of get into why I wanted to.
I'm excited for this.
That's a good one.
As we talk about it. So in 52, this is, and again, spoiler warning for everybody who has only watched the show, especially if you've not read the comic, we're going to get into likely, I think, things that we will probably see next season in season three. So
I think,
you know, be warned about spoilers.
I think I know what happens in this issue. It's a good one.
Nice. Okay. So this one, the cover is a Mark in the blue suit and Oliver like punching at him, like they're in like a fight together. This is just after Mark gets the blue suit for the first time, and Oliver gets his first costume from Art and becomes Kid Omni-Man, which is also just incredible and hilarious. It starts off with Debbie like yelling for Mark, saying, you know, look, on the TV, the Maulers have taken over a missile silo. And they specifically call out that it is the missile silo that the Lizard League tried to take over recently.
Really?
So it's sort of cool to know that, like, we've seen that place in the show, and we kind of know what it looks like now, and we'll probably be revisiting it. So see that that's happening on the news. Mark is like, oh, you know, tell Eve to not worry about it. By the time she catches, you know, catches up to me, I'll already be done with them. Like Mark is at this point kind of confident that he's going to go handle the situation. He flies off before Debbie can even respond. We get a really cool, like double page spread of the Maulers having like defeated the current Guardians that are there. Immortals knocked out. Black Samson's knocked out. And they have some big like canon thing that they're arguing over about how effective it was going to work, and doing their typical like, of course it was going to work. I told you, you're clearly the clone. Mark flies in, immediately is like, party's over, goes to take them out, and they shoot him with the blaster thing, and it kind of knocks him back, and they are feeling like, oh, they're pretty confident. Back at the house, Oliver walks into the living room and like asks Debbie, where's Mark? And she's like, oh, there's people took over a missile silo, and he just jets out of the house. Like he's so excited to go and just catch up to all of this.
Fight crime.
Yeah, exactly. To go be a superhero like Mark. Maulers are like continuing to like fight and try and take over. Oliver eventually shows up and like punches one of them, breaks their like goggles. And Mark is immediately like, what are you doing here? Why did you follow me? You know, this is way too dangerous. Get out of here. The Maulers like keep trying to fight Mark now that he's sort of distracted to protect Oliver. Oliver keeps like jumping in, just very eager and not really afraid at all. Doesn't seem scared. Mark keeps like fighting. He's stopping the Maulers. The Maulers basically explain that they're not launching missile silo. They're not launching any of the nukes or threatening to launch the nukes to like scare people or get demands. They're going to launch it into the sun to make a solar flare that will take out the satellites. And then when they bring them back on, everyone will have to pay them to use their satellites. So they'll control like world governments, which again, probably shows why, you know, maybe they don't trust government and wouldn't necessarily want to work with Cecil, which was funny that we got an email about the Maulers as I get a very Mauler specific thing. So Mark sees the missile is launching. He like flies off into space to go and track it down. He tells Oliver, like, don't try to fight them. Just get out of here. Like, it's too dangerous. And then Oliver just says, like hell. And he goes to punch one of the Maulers and just breaks his jaw. Like, you see it off his jaw and like poking out of the side. And Oliver's like kind of surprised. He laughs and he's like, wow, I'm totally holding my own against you guys. Like, I can do this. And they're starting to like, you know, fight back and throw him against this wall. He goes flying, kind of crumples into the metal wall, and then climbs out of it and is like, now you're just asking for it. And he just flies through one of the Maulers, and we get the big full page spread of Oliver's hand, not even a fist, just the hand, like kind of tangled up in the intestine.
TJ, you have this page? Gross.
Yeah.
I always have this
we
page.
Get that full page. It's so cool.
TJ's so muted.
Cool. Oh, there it is. It's so good.
It's so great. And this is, I feel like, one of the first times that we see sort of, maybe it's not, there's probably earlier issues, but it feels like one of the few times that we see this kind of brand of gore from Otley's artwork that is like not so much about the punching and the violence and just the consequences from like physical superhero fights, but just sort of like gross wetness. Yeah.
It's gotten. It's the
only way. Do you guys think that this shot in the show is going to be slow motion? Like, do you think it's going to be Oliver? Like, it's going to show. Like, I'm thinking of that scene in Wanted where it shows the bullet go through the head and then it's like really slow through the forehead and then it pops out. That's what I imagine this scene being like.
I don't know. I'm looking at it as Wyatt's reading it. And as soon as it shows him like bursting through, the very next panel on the top is him like flying into the wall. Like he can't control it. So I kind of hope it's like almost like Anissa flying through the kaiju where he just like bursts through and he's in the wall and then has to like because I want it to be chaotic. I want him to be like a little unsure of what he's doing because slow motion shows like intention.
You're right. It would be cool if it was just super quick and you as like the audience don't even kind of see what happened. Like you just see a lot of blood and visceral and stuff like that. And then it turns like Oliver maybe turns around and there's a fucking hole through the Mauler. Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
And Oliver even says right afterwards, he just says like, wow, I've got to admit, I really didn't think that was going to happen either. What do you have to say for yourself? Like talking to the other Mauler. And the other Mauler immediately puts his hands up and goes, I give up. I surrender. Like, please just don't hurt me. And Oliver's like, oh, you're going to make it easy on me. And goes to uppercut him and just uppercuts through his brain. Yeah. And again, is sort of implying that like, maybe he didn't know that he was that strong or that that was going to happen. It seems like he doesn't, because he says like, wow, after it happened, like he seems surprised that he actually killed him and didn't knock him out. At this point, Immortal is waking up and he's like kind of in shock at just seeing this, because this is the first time I think any of them are seeing Oliver in costume at all. And he's this scrawny little kid with purple skin who's now covered in blood and both the Maulers are dead, who just like took everybody out. So it's like sort of shocking. Meanwhile, Mark is like in space chasing down the missile that is flying towards the sun. He eventually like tries to get at it to like cause it to blow up and says to himself, oh, I bet this is going to hurt. And then the nuke goes off in space and just launches him backwards, which is another cool like just kind of lore thing that apparently Mark can survive a nuke just like dismantling it right in front of him.
How close was that to the sun?
It was close to the moon, so not far.
Okay, cool.
Because it's passing by the moon. But yeah, it's passing by the moon. We see the like astronauts that are on the moon base, you know, calling it in to Cecil Cecil said, like, you know, if you see Invincible out there, make sure you report it. So we get a little nod that like Cecil is watching.
Can I say that this episode, when it gets animated in the show, this is probably going to hurt. Sounds a lot like an episode title.
Yeah. That does. I like it. So then, yeah, Oliver is like trying to explain to the other Guardians that like he didn't mean to do it, you know, and why is everybody so upset? He just saved all of them. And Cecil shows up through like one of the teleporting doors and is like trying to console Oliver and being like, you know, they're not used to seeing a kid like you do this sort of stuff. It's a little unsettling. He's trying to just sort of comfort him. And he starts to say, you know, that like, you know, you're very special. And there's times when, and Mark shows up and is immediately like, get away from my brother. Like, mm-hmm. I told you to stay away from my brother, chokes him. And, you know, Oliver is doing the very much the little kid thing of like, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you mad? And Mark just says like, in the sky right now, and immediately is like, come on, we got to leave here and we got to go talk about this. And they have a discussion back and forth where they're sort of like arguing, and Mark is saying like, you killed people, you just killed two people. And he says like, we don't do that. And at one point Oliver says like, well, you do that sometimes. You killed the guy that broke mom's arm. And he's like, that's different. That was an accident. And Oliver's like, this was an accident. And he's trying to like, you know, play by Mark's rules and be like, no, this is the same thing. Mm-hmm. And Mark eventually is like, okay, I get it. You didn't mean to. I believe you didn't mean to. But what's bothering me is that you don't seem to care. And that's such a cool moment, knowing where we're leaving Mark now in the show, of like, yeah, walking through the desert being like, I just killed somebody. What does that mean for me? Like, who am I now? How much that weighs on him, to now see his little brother, who he has taken the responsibility of like, I'm going to train you to be a superhero, and I'm going to be the one to teach you how to do this, and I'm going to like teach you right from wrong and how to be a hero, mm-hmm, who is now telling him like, no, why is that a problem that I just killed people? And they have this discussion about even like human life, and how like Mark says human life is precious, and Oliver says like, no, it's not. It's
the
not
way that
all
that
precious.
The way that that happens too is like, they're going back and forth. It's like, no. And then like, he says human life is precious, and then the look on Oliver's, because I have it open here, the look on Oliver's face is like, no, it's not. Just like, yeah, that's how I read it, is just like, that was just a cut in the conversation right there. It's like,
what I absolutely love about this, and I can't wait to see this, is the seeds that they have already planted with the Thraxons, and how they don't look, they don't grieve, they don't look at the past, they don't dwell on stuff. They're just like, I'm over it. Okay, it was an accident. I'm fucking over it. So it's not going to affect Oliver the same, because he is Thraxon.
The way Oliver has, like you're saying, though, Thraxons, and why you saying like where our Mark is in the show, like this scene, this moment has so much potential in the show.
Yeah. And he, so Oliver says, you know, precious, human life isn't precious, not in general, not everyone. People risk their lives every day. They kill each other. If they don't think their lives are important, why should I? Most of them are utterly insignificant. And Mark says, you sound like dad. And Oliver says, so why is that bad? Was he so wrong? Did nothing he said make sense to you, even on a small level? Have you ever thought that maybe our father was right? And Mark like pauses and then has like the tiniest little speech bubble that says, sometimes. Which is, again, a very cool, like, showing that this isn't black and white and they're having to deal with this stuff. And the reason I picked this one, the reason I wanted to just really pick that scene in this moment, is that, like, the show has done such a good job of taking care of, like, character like Angstrom, who we know a lot of the stuff that we saw in the show is sort of there in the, like, the subcontext of things. Like, it's not as clear maybe in the comic as they made it in the show, of like all the voices pouring into Angstrom's head, and even just the performance, like kind of adding depth to that. I'm so excited to get that for Oliver. Like, Oliver in this moment is such an interesting character, and such an interesting like way to push Mark and like cause him to question what he thinks he needs to do and what he thinks is right and what he thinks he can be to Oliver. And like, that relationship is so fascinating, and this moment is the moment that like made me really fall in love with Oliver as a character, because he's so interesting, and because from this moment on, I never knew if like I felt like I could pick up a new issue and Oliver snaps and he is now a villain, and Mark has to go and fight him and stop him, and to know that there's a character like that Mark can't control and doesn't really know if, you know, he is going to have the same morals as Mark is really fascinating. And I can't wait to see how not only the writing of the show and how they organize the story, but what the performance is and how that adds depth to the character. I think
it's also it's going to be a very daunting, like surreal moment for Mark that, hey, maybe I don't know how to fucking handle the situation. Like, Cecil was actually trying to like calm not everybody else down, but also kind of like, you know, focus Oliver and to trying to like help him understand this. And Mark, he's not a dad. He doesn't know how to deal with this kid's perspective. And it's going to be really fucking great to see it unfold.
Yeah.
Good fucking issue,
good,
Wyatt.
Good pick.
Oh, yeah. Oliver, I think, you know, other than Tara later on, Oliver is my Rexplode, my Dinosaurus, think. Like, when we're getting the Oliver stuff,
found him.
I'm gonna be a very happy camper when we're getting this kind of stuff in the show, for sure.
Yeah,
nice.
I think we all have a soft spot for Tara, like, equally. Yeah. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, yeah.
Can't wait. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Thank you.
I'm adding it to the list. 52 is now off limits.
All right.
Who's next after this? Ryan?
I'm up next.
Nice.
I will pick something soon. After C2E2, which again, that's next for us. We will be at C2E2 Chicago. Hit us up if you're going to be there. And remember to email us. That does it for this episode of the Invincible Podcast. So send us your emails. Give us your thoughts on what you'd like to see us do next over this break between seasons. You know, check out Wyatt Lane's music over on SoundCloud, Spotify, all that good stuff. You're still doing your monthly new music.
Yeah, I am.
And we're also over on YouTube. So make sure to check out those videos. We do have like Invincible Trivia. Please go watch Invincible Trivia. We put a lot of work into that. TJ crushed it on Invincible Trivia Returns. And that's such a fun episode. All those good stuff. So that does it. We will see you guys around. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
Bye. See you at C2E2. Come see us. Bye.
Nice. Everybody did their doodles?
Shut up. Not even for a second. You have to doodle
your favorite moment from the last podcast.
An over shoulder view of me drawing
you with the post-it notes on the wall.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
All right, let's do this.